I wouldn't object if you took some notes this morning on this message. I wish some of you would. You know, the Bereans, it is said, went home and searched the scriptures to see if these things be so. I'd be a fool to want you or expect you to believe anything just because I said it. And you'd be a fool to believe it. Our eternal, immortal, eternity-bound soul are worth a whole lot more than to just trust them in the care of a fallible creature. Blindly follow no man. Blindly follow no creed or doctrine that is put forth by a man. So these things that we need to be careful what we say. Not only are we preaching as one that must give an account, but we're preaching to people who must give an account. Take heed what you hear, our Lord said. How you hear, what you hear. And I'm going to make some statements. I'll make them with emphasis so you'll know what to write down. You won't be able to write down the whole message, but by way of introducing the message, A, the Apostle Paul was looking for God's elect. Apostle Paul was looking for God's elect. He knew God had an elect people. Now, he knew that because he said over in Romans 11, verse 5, he said in Romans 11, verse 5, listen to this, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. He said, all Israel's not going to be saved, just the remnant, and that according to the election of God's grace. You read chapter 11 of Romans. And then he said, at this present time, there's an election, a remnant according to the election of grace. So he knew God had an elect people. I know it. He knew it. And he knew that those elect people must hear the gospel. They have to hear the gospel. Elect or not, a man's not going to be saved if he doesn't hear the gospel. He said in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Paul knew that. He knew that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He knew that. He knew that the elect must hear the gospel. They must hear the gospel. Not a gospel, not some gospel, the gospel. Got to hear it. I can't explain that. I'm not going to try to explain that. I can't explain the Trinity. I can't explain God's love for sinners. I can't explain those things. I believe them. I can't explain how that while the Holy Spirit is the agent in the new birth, the Word of God is the instrument, the seed. There is no life without a seed. There's no life in the flesh without a seed. A seed must be planted. And there's no life in the Spirit without a seed. And preachers can run all over the country talking about a begetting before birth. All right, there must be a begetting before a bringing forth. But that seed is the Word of God. Christ is our life, and without Christ, you have no life. If you don't have Christ, if you don't know Christ, if you haven't heard the gospel of Christ, if you haven't believed on Christ, if you haven't received Christ, you're dead. That's so. You don't have any life. Christ is our life, and the seed is the word. Men must hear the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's so, the gospel. And there'll be nobody in glory who hadn't heard the gospel and believed it, consciously, willingly, intelligently received it. All right, the fourth thing, 2 Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy a minute. Paul was willing to endure all things to preach the gospel to God's elect. He was willing to, he knew God had an elect. He knew that they had to hear the gospel, for the gospel was the power of God to salvation. But 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore, he'd been talking about all the trouble he suffered, all of the things he's endured. He says, I endure all things for their sake, for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's why I'm doing it. When I call on you to give for missions, you're doing it for God's glory, of course. I trust. But you're doing it for the elect's sake. God has some people down there in Metida, Motul, Esamal, Bangor, Belfast, Dublin, Limerick, Montpelier, Monticello, Marseille. God has people, Barcelona, Valencia, Carcagente. He's got people there. And we're doing it for their sake, that they may hear this gospel. They've got to hear it. Now, don't you ever sit down in a rocking chair and fold your arms and say, well, God's going to save them, he'll save them. That was what some of our Baptist forefathers ran into when it first started sending missionaries. William Carey wanted to go out to the mission field. Some of the brethren said, well, God won't save those Hindus or Buddhists. He'll save them without you. No, he won't either. Now, here's the second thing. Now, that was number one. God, Paul knew God had an elect he was looking for. All right? Secondly, the elect of God will hear the gospel. Now, hold on to your pew. It wouldn't shock you, but I want you to think this over. Don't you come out with an objection if you hadn't thought about it. And don't you come out with an objection to you do a little thinking about it, a little study. The elect of God will hear the gospel from an elect preacher. That's so. Men don't accidentally come to know God. And they don't come to know God hearing about a false God. And they don't come to know the gospel of Christ by hearing another gospel. I know we like to think that. We like to think, well, God will draw a straight line with a crooked stick. You find that in God's Word. How shall they hear? Now listen to me. Listen to the Scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? In him. Not a Jesus. Not some Jesus. The Christ of the Bible. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. That's what this word says. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Why weren't the Jews converted, Bob, unto the Pharisees then? Why'd they have to hear John? Why weren't the Jews converted unto the scribes? Why'd they have to hear Paul? These men were preachers. Why weren't they converted under the Sadducees? See, so they preached. They taught the Scriptures. Why weren't they converted? Why did these people come to call on Christ? Why did he have to choose 12 apostles? Why did he have to send Paul? I'll tell you why. I'll give you 4 reasons. Here are the marks of an elect preacher. I'll give you 4 reasons. Here are the marks of an elect preacher. Number one, down here in verse 5, Paul said, I know your election, brethren, because our gospel, that's the first mark of an elect preacher. Every true preacher can call the gospel his gospel. His gospel. It's my gospel, Paul said. What do you mean by that? I've tasted of it. I've been redeemed by it. I've partaken of it. It's my gospel. God can't give you a drink of water out of a glass till he fills the glass. He's got to put something in that vessel before it can give you anything. If that gospel is full of poison, you're going to be poisoned. That's right. If that gospel's full of evil, that's what you're going to get's evil. You can't get fresh water out of a saltwater fountain or salt water out of a freshwater fountain. And if this fountain is full of deceit, that's what you're going to have. You go and I hear people say, well, I stay in that church. I know they're not preaching anything, but it's my home church, and I got a Sunday school class. You drink water from a poison vessel, that's what you're going to get. That's so. Your preacher's not preaching the gospel. You better skedaddle out of there as quick as you can. You listen to a minister of Satan, you will be a follower of a minister of Satan. I know those are hard words, but they're so. The apostle said, we believe and therefore we speak. We speak those things which we've seen and heard. What Roth used to say, you can't tell what you don't know. Any more you can come back from where you hadn't been. Listen to David. I believe, therefore have I spoken. The first mark of an elect preacher is that the gospel's his gospel. It's his gospel. That's what he called it. Our gospel. Sure, it's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God's glory, the gospel of God's grace. But my brethren, it's my gospel. Because it's redeemed me, and it's cleansed me, and it's given me hope, and it's given me grace, and it's given me mercy. It's my gospel. I'm preaching my gospel. The second mark of an elect preacher, he'll preach the Word of God. He'll major on the Word of God. His lips will flow with the Word of God. That will be the very essence of his ministry. Just Scripture, Scripture, Scripture all the time. I'm going to show you where that comes from in Ezekiel 2. Turn to Ezekiel 2. Let me show you something. This is beautiful here. Ezekiel chapter 2. Now, Paul said our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but it did come in word. It has to come in word. That's the way God sends it, in word. His word. His word. That's how our gospel is preached, his word. Not my logic, reasoning, not my understanding. Now, this is the way I think it is, friend. No, that's not what God blessed. It's his word. And an elect preacher will preach God's word. Listen to Ezekiel 2, verse 9. You over there? Ezekiel 2, 9. Now, when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. It was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. And then go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth. And he caused me to eat that roll. And he said, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it. It was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said to me, son of man, now you go, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. This is the reason that we've got no cause for a young man to walk down the aisle and make a profession. He may be saved. He may be saved. And then put him up teaching, preaching God's word. You've got to fill this vessel with God's word. You've got to eat it. It's got to fill the belly. It's got to fill the bowels. It's got to fill the mind. It's got to fill the heart. So that when that elect preacher, that man sent of God, he doesn't go forth with a recipe handed down by some professional soul winner, A, B, C, D. He doesn't go forth to just win proselytes or make Baptists out of people. He goes forth saturated, filled with the Word of God. And as he speaks to a man, the word flows out. Go and preach my word to him. Now, I know this professor down at the Bible conference last week, this Brother Spile, he said seminaries are finished. They're finished. All we like now is just to bury them. He's a professor in a seminary, Grace Theological Seminary, Winona Lake, professor of Greek and Hebrew. He said they're through. They're finished. You're not going to train God's preachers in seminaries anymore. because the seminaries are busy teaching them philosophy and rhetoric and hermeneutics and all of prophecy and promotion and planning and all these things. They're not taking this roll and opening the mouth, putting it in. Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Digest it. Fill your belly with it, your bowels with it, your heart with it, your mind with it. And then go out when it's filled and digest. You go out and it'll flow from you. And where we're going to train preachers? Churches. That's where they're going to have to train them. That's what he said. That's what I believe. I believe that a long time. Preachers are going to have to come. Men who feel they're called of God to preach. They're going to have to come and sit under somebody who's already called of God. Paul had his Timothy. Elijah had his Elisha. Always true. The Lord had his disciples. They didn't go to seminary. Timothy sat and listened to Paul. And he got saturated with this roll. He ate it. Filled his belly with it. The Word of God. Preacher doesn't know how to have to know how to pave a parking lot. He just needs to know how to preach the gospel. He doesn't need to know how to hold his cup with his little finger sticking out, you know, so as not to offend the ladies' pink tea society. He needs to know how to preach. He needs to know what Paul meant when he said there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. He needs to know what that means and preach it. How to tell an elect preacher? He preaches the Word. And thirdly, his words will go forth in power. Paul said, our gospel, mine, came not to you in word only. It did come that way in the Word of God, but it came to you in power. 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 Not the power of persuasion, the power of the Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the thing. You see what I'm talking about to you young ministers about the Word of God? Every time you say something, nail it down with the Scripture. Nail it down with the Scripture. I say that this is what I said. God's Word goes forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's nail it down with the Scripture. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love Him. But He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the things of God, yea, the deep things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. So God's Word, when we preach it, it must go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Barnard said one time, he said he heard something that changed his whole ministry. He said he was reading a little book by somebody. I forget who it was, but this little book said this. Preacher, if your voice is the only voice men hear, nothing of any eternal value will be accomplished. Nothing. If your voice, they must hear him speak who speaks through his word. That's right. And that'll change your ministry when you learn it. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. I don't care how suave you are. I don't care how tactful you are. I don't care how talented or gifted you are as a speaker. I don't care how persuasive you are. I do not care how many followers you have. You're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If the Holy Ghost doesn't take God's Word and pierce the heart, you just preach to men's ears. That's deep as you can go. God is the one who takes it down here and hammers and molds and shapes. And that old sinner, you tell him he's a sinner and he goes off, yeah, that's so, but if God tells him he's a sinner, he goes off weeping. He goes off weeping. And then the next thing about that elect preacher, the fourth thing, is his life and motive and methods will be in harmony with his message. Paul said here, our gospel, it's my gospel. And it comes to you in word, not in word only, but in power. And then the last line, he said, you know what manner of men we were among you. You know my motives. You know my methods. You know what manner of man I was. I wasn't greedy of your filthy lucre. I wasn't greedy of what I could get from you. I wasn't interested. Paul said, I even made tents to support myself. I wasn't interested in your possessions. And I wasn't interested in your praise, he said. I seek not the praise of men. Oh, it's nice for folks to like you and appreciate you. I had a birthday yesterday. I was 52, and I got some sweet and some not-so-sweet cards. But I appreciated every one of them. Just so thankful somebody, you know, cares. You go out of the service and say, I appreciate the message. That's good. Boy, that thrills me. But I'm not seeking that. If you went out mad, that'd be all right, too. I wouldn't like it, but it'd have to be all right. You know, I'm not going to change my message. I'm going to change my message. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's what Paul said. You know what manner of man I am among you. Not seeking your possessions or your praise or any of those things. I'm trying to preach what God says here. So Paul, the elect preacher, endured all things. He was burdened. He preached the gospel to every creature, but he was looking for God's elect. That's who he's looking for. Turn to Acts chapter 18. And I want you to look at this a minute now. Acts chapter 18. Acts the 18th chapter. Paul was just about to leave a place. Verse 9. He was just about to leave this place, and God spoke to him. Acts 18:9. The Lord spake to Paul at night in a vision. He said, Paul, don't be afraid. But speak and hold not thy peace. I'm with you. No man's going to set on you to hurt you. I have much people in this city. So Paul continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Why'd Paul have to stay? He's God's preacher. And this is what I'm saying, and you do with it what you will, but God has an elect people. And they're going to hear the gospel from an elect preacher. They're going to hear the gospel. The gospel. Stay down there, Paul. He stayed there 18 months because God had much people in that city. Or he'll raise up elect deacons and elect elders and elect Sunday school teachers. But God's people, God's children are going to hear the pure gospel. They're going to hear it from the lips of one who sent providentially and on purpose and powerfully by God Almighty. This is why we must not despise the preaching of the gospel. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the reason we must be busy preaching too. You love me? You love me, Peter? Yes, I do. Well, feed my sheep. So here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, the elect preacher, went to the people and he preached. Now, let's see how to recognize the elect people quickly. He said, first of all, our gospel, they heard the gospel not in word only, but they heard it in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Now, listen to me. Quickly, listen. The same gospel comes to the unregenerate, which comes to the regenerate. There's no difference. In other words, in this building this morning, there are people who are regenerate and there are people who are unregenerate. There are believers and unbelievers. You're hearing the same thing. You're hearing the same words. The difference is how it's received. The difference is the way in which it's received. To the unregenerate, that's all you're hearing, words. That's all you hear. You're hearing words. And depending on how intelligent or how smart you are, you'll remember these words. And you could go out and tell someone these words that I said. But to the believer, to the elect, this gospel comes to them not in word only, but it comes to them in three things. In power, that is the power of understanding. I see, oh, I see. I hear, I believe, I see in this gospel the wisdom of God. I see how God can be just and justify the ungodly. I see that. Power of understanding. The power of understanding. Power upon your understanding. I see how we fell in Adam, how we were represented in Adam. I see how we were restored in Christ. I see that. I understand that. The gospel came to you not just in words, but in power, in the power of understanding, in power upon your conscience to convince you of sin. Power upon your feelings to cause you to weep. Power upon your life to cause you to seek God. Power. You see that? Our gospel came to you not in word only, but in power. Power upon your understanding. Power upon your conscience. Power upon your feeling. Power upon your life. Power upon your personality to change you. Our gospel came to you in power, came to you in the Holy Ghost. I can't describe how the Holy Ghost works by the Word of God, but I know we're born of the Spirit and of the Word. And I know that God's Holy Spirit quickens through the Word. He reveals Christ through the Word. He convicts of sin through the Word. He takes these words, the Word of God, and He uses these words, the Word of God, the words that are preached by faithful men, and He does what He sent to do using those words. Can't explain that. I just know it's so. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the Word of God. You didn't only hear it with power and the Holy Ghost, but you heard it in much assurance. What does this mean? I see two things. First, I'm fully persuaded. I'm assured that this is the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not assured that what these religious hucksters are putting off on the American people is true. I'm just convinced that's not true. But I'm sure, I'm convinced this is true. I'm assured of it. I've heard it with assurance. And I also am fully persuaded not only the truth of it, but of my interest in it. I know I believe it. I'm assured of that. All right, knowing your election of God. Paul said, I know your election because our gospel didn't come to you just in words. I see some power, Holy Ghost work. I see some confidence and assurance. Oh, you know you're a sinner. There's nothing good about you. You're imperfect. But you know Christ is your hope. All right, here's the second thing, and I won't keep you long. You became followers of us and the Lord. Verse 6, you became followers. That's a mark of God's elect. This is what our Lord said about His sheep. He said, they hear my voice. They hear my voice. They hear the Word. And they what? They follow me. They follow me. This is identification with Christ. He was identified with us. He was numbered with the transgressors. Brethren, I'm going to be identified with Him. I want the world to know, first of all, by baptism. I hear this gospel. I hear it with power, my understanding, my conscience, my life. I hear it with power upon my personality. And if I become a follower now of this gospel, which I believe, I'm assured it's true, and I'm assured of my interest. So first, I go into the baptismal waters, and I tell the whole congregation, I'm identified with Christ. I'm following Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. I'm walking with the King. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm identified with Him in the gospel of grace. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, I'd like to get along with everybody. You would too. But now, I believe the gospel of God's grace, and I want the world to know it. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. I'm not going to follow human leaders, I'm going to follow the apostles. You became followers of us and the Lord. I'll follow the Scripture. I'm going to be identified with His people. I'm going to be identified with Him in His sufferings. That's if we're called on to endure some conflict in the family, in the social circle, that'd be all right too. You know, they tell me that song, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? Somebody check up on this. I heard that when that was originally written, it didn't say, must Jesus bear the cross alone. It says, must Simon. Did you ever hear that, Joe? Must Simon bear the cross alone. Check up on that. See, I never did like the song like it's written. Must Jesus bear? I can't bear his cross. His cross is a cross of substitution. His cross is a cross of sin offering. I can't bear his cross. But I can be identified with him in bearing the cross like Simon was. Simon was identified. It was Christ's cross, but Simon was identified. Must Simon bear the cross alone and all the world go free? You know, there's a cross for everyone, there's a cross for me. I'm going to be identified with Christ. Identified with Christ. That's, you became followers of us and the Lord. Run your flag up. We got a flag out in our front yard. I'm thankful for the United States of America. I'm thankful for this country, and with all of its faults, it's still the best, and its government still the best. So we proudly display a flag in our front yard. And I'm also confident that God is God, and Christ is his Son, and salvation is by grace. And I'd just like to run a flag up and let everybody know that. That's where I stand. I became follower. All right, look at verse 7. And you became examples to all that in Macedonia. And verse 8, you became witnesses. Now, there was a time when only God knew that we were his people. We were secret disciples. The Apostle Paul was a child of God from his mother's womb. That's what he said, didn't he? Now, he didn't know it, and the folks around him didn't know it, but God knew it. But there came a time when he knew it and when the folks around him knew it. And that time's come for me and you. He said, you became examples. You became witnesses. People watched you and observed you. And they said, well, he's been with Jesus. That's what you said about the disciples. They took note of them that they'd been with the Lord. And they became witnesses. The word of God sounded out from them. This church, this congregation, if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, know him, you'll be a witness. You'll be a witness. You'll be an example. People will be able to know that you are a child of God. I believe that. I believe they'll show you we have many faults, but there's a general trend of life. There's a bent of the will. There's a tenor of the life that is recognizable. I don't mean you have to wear a bonnet and a long black dress to let people know you're Christian. Or live in a farmhouse and ride in a covered wagon. But your attitude, your integrity, your honesty, your straightforwardness, your kindness, your patience, your faith, these things give you away, don't they? They give you away. You became examples. You became witnesses. And you know, a witness is not running up. Tomorrow, I know they do this in Bible schools and colleges and all. You've got to go witness to so many people every day. But, you know, to me, if I were teaching a class on witnessing, I would say this. Now, you're a believer. Mike, you're a believer. You'll be going out next week. You'll be contacting people on your debit, your insurance work and all, down at your office. And pray. Ask God to give you an effectual door open. Give me an opportunity. Not just the first man I walk up, you born again? You a Christian? Or see somebody smoking a cigarette and say, if you're saved, you wouldn't do that. Well, he probably never will be, you know, if you have anything to do with it. Or somebody said, you watch the television show last night? Don't watch television. Christian don't watch television. Somebody drinking a cup of coffee, and you get saved, God will deliver you from that, you know, those kind of things. Well, boy, if there's any enemies of Christ abroad, they're the ones. That's right. Turn men's stomachs as well as their heads away from the gospel. But ask God, say, Lord, Give me an effectual door. Let me have an opportunity to speak to someone this week or this day about the Savior. And someone comes by and says, how are you this morning? Fine, it's a beautiful day. I thank God for this beautiful day. That may open a door. Or You see, your buddy, boy, we had a good service yesterday. I wish you'd come down sometime here, my preacher. You know, something like that. We had a good day. God gave us a good service. Did you have a good service at your church? Well, I didn't go. Yes. Well, won't you come sometime? Would you like to hear a tape? My pastor, I got a tape in my car there. I'd be glad to get it for you. There are a lot of ways without making yourself obnoxious, without making yourself a proselyte or someone trying to sell a candidate that nobody believes in. There are ways that God uses tactful, effectual witnessing. But pray for God. That's Paul did. He prayed that God would open an effectual door. You became a witness. A witness. And then he said in the next verse, last of all, he said in verse 9, the last line, you turn from your idols. You turn from your idols to serve the living and true God. You say, preacher, we don't have any idols today. Hold on a minute. Our streets and houses and homes and churches and shops are full of idols. Just cram full of them. We may not worship the golden calf or the calf of gold, but there are a whole lot of us that worship gold in another form. It's round and flat. It's got a date on it. Same thing. You might as well bow before the golden calf. Just a different shape. That's right. There are those who worship honor, praise, fame, self, family. There are those, somebody said one time, we may as well worship snakes and beasts as to worship materialism. Let me give you three things that Charles Spurgeon said one time. If I love anything or anyone more than the Lord, I'm an idolater. If there's anything that I would not be willing to give up for the glory of God, I'm an idolater. If there's anything I seek more than I seek the glory of God, this is my idol. You know, I've seen this happen. I've seen men turn from the idols of the world and worship church idols. They worship doctrine. They worship the high seats in the synagogue. I've seen men turn from secular education and worship religious education. They get to panning after degrees and recognition and credentials. They get that same drive that men have over here who want LLDs. We get one seeking THDs. Just different idol, that's all. Secular idol or religious idol. Some people turn from pleasures of the flesh. Watch out now. The idols of pleasure to the idols of Phariseeism. You know, you can do that. You can turn from one idol to another idol. You may have a man that works with you that has his pleasures, his idol. You be careful, religion's not your idol. And I don't mean Christ, I mean religion. Doctrine, Phariseeism, self-righteousness. He said you turn from these idols to serve the living God. The living God, to walk with the living God. And last of all, I close. And here's a mark of the elect. To wait for His Son from heaven. I'm going to preach on this tonight. To wait for His Son from heaven. How do we wait? Well, we wait, first of all, in perseverance of faith. Paul says, I've kept the faith. Faith that saves now doesn't require a few minutes' decision. Faith that saves is a lifetime experience. I wait in faith. We wait for Him to reveal His will. I've got a matter on my heart for this church. Something big, if God's in it, that I'm going to talk to the men of this church about. But I don't know whether it's God's will or not. We're going to have to find God's will. Wait for Him. We need to learn to wait and pray, not run before. To wait for His Son. This is a mark of the elect, I believe, to wait for His Son. To wait in faith. To wait upon His will. Just wait. and find out His will. And wait on Him to anoint us. Wait on... This is the thing about witnessing, Mike. I said a while ago, can't we wait on God to anoint us? Do we have to just run without being sent and start popping off without having a message? What are we trying to do? Impress people or God? Please people or God? God has an elect out there. And we'll just wait on Him. Just wait. Be still. And know that I'm God. Be still. You ever quail hunt? Now they're there. And you rush into the field. Everybody goes running into the field to get a bird. And nobody gets anybody. But you just wait. You just wait. And the dog goes ahead of you. And he points. And you just be still now. And wait. And then when you're ready, that dog goes in. They fly up and you get them. But you got to wait. You stomp around and drive them away. We wait on God to call us home. I'm waiting on Him. I'm waiting. He's going to come. And I'm waiting on Him to come again. I'm waiting on Him. That's a mark of God's elect. You take these things and look them over. Come back tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm going to preach on that 10th verse, the Lord willing. My subject, Christ, our body of divinity. Our Father in heaven, we want so much to eat this book, be saturated with it, to be filled with it. Our belly, our bowels, our innermost being, filled with the word, the truth of God, that we might be effectual witnesses. We might be used to preach the truth, the gospel to thine own. Lord, thou art almighty and sovereign. Be pleased to use us in a way that seems good in thy sight. And Lord, bless this message this morning and anoint us and fill us with thy spirit for the service tonight. Give us the spirit of worship, spirit of hunger and thirst. Give us a seeking spirit, a quiet spirit of peace and rest, dedicated to our God. In His name we pray, amen.